Radio.
This is Nick Roth. I've been up for 72 hours straight. I feel like I have a paranormal hangover, and you're listening to Paranormal Hangover.
Hello, all you crazy cats out there. This is Dr. Spector, and you are listening to Paranormal Hangover with Mark and Lauren.
Another paranormal hangover, another new week.
Hey.
Things are good.
Yeah.
I love life.
Things are sweaty, more like it.
Things are wicked sweaty.
Things are wicked sweaty, bruh.
Dude, wicked sweaty hair.
Dude.
So
come on,
hot.
You know it's going to go there.
It's really friggin' hot.
It's gross outside.
Was it like 197 degrees out today?
No, actually, today wasn't as bad as last week. Today, I think it was like 90 with... I don't know. What do they call that again?
Humidity?
No, yeah, humidity, but it's called something else.
Relative humidity?
Dew point or something.
Dew point?
71%.
Mm-hmm.
Like way up there.
71 degrees is the dew point.
Whatever. Oh. Disgusting, it should say. It should just say disgusting.
Yes.
Why do they go with percentages and degrees?
You really just asked that.
Yeah. They can't just say gross, wicked gross, disgusting.
Well, they do have a rating like that. However... If the dew point is 71 degrees and the temperature is 71 degrees, it's 100% humidity, so that means it's going to be wet out. So if the temperature is 90 degrees and the dew point is 71 degrees...
I just got you so
yes,
fired up.
There's a reason the dew point is 71 degrees.
So I got you so mad.
It measures the humidity in the air. Take a temperature of 100 degrees, 71%, 71 degree dew point, it's 71%
let's
humidity.
Let's see what Kevin and Randy have to say about that.
Well, we'll find out in just a little bit when they call in.
Yeah, seeing that they live down south.
It's about time. This show has been, what?
Like
three,
a month and a half in the making.
That,
2 months,
though,
perhaps.
It's more than that. I think we're pushing 3 months, at least, this show has been in the making. Whether it be Randy breaking his hand or us having the wrong time slot scheduled or whatever it is, the gods were against us interviewing Randy and Kevin. It was Kevin that broke his hand, wasn't it?
Did
yeah. Randy break
yeah,
his
you
hand?
Yeah, you did. Sorry.
Sorry, Kevin. Kevin broke his hand. Maybe Randy did break Kevin's hand. I don't know.
We
don't know. Maybe it was a lie. It was a farcical lie.
A farcical?
Yes.
Like a popsicle, but
yes.
A farcical?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you what kind of popsicle that is.
Hey-o!
Anyway, how was your weekend?
You were there.
Great conversation, Lauren. So, yes, I was there. And we had a wonderful weekend. First of all, before we get to the weekend, We'd like to thank our sponsors, as usual, Deadly Grounds Coffee,
yes,
which is truly the coffee to die for.
It is.
I would die for Deadly Grounds Coffee. I'd take a bullet for it.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, it's good.
You would take a bullet for it.
Oh, okay.
They sponsor us.
I would. Don't say that this day and age. Someone will fucking come after us now.
Because I would protect something?
No, and forget it.
You're crazy. Anyway, so yes, Deadly Ground Coffee, the coffee to die for. Visit www.deadlygroundscoffee.com. That's www.deadlygroundscoffee.com.
Say it again like those old folks commercials you get on TV in the morning.
So anyway, deadlygroundscoffee.com, visit them. Check out mghparanormal.com for all your Salem Con news and the Houghton tickets.
Houghton.
Hey, by the way, there's a special going on this week for Salem Con tickets. If you buy your ticket this week, you will get a free, that's an F-R-E-E, free official Salem Con t-shirt at the event next year.
Yep.
So be sure to purchase your tickets this week in order to get that $20 value free Salem Con t-shirt. You're not going to want to not have one on when you're walking around there.
You know who has one? Frank Sinelli has
Dr.
one.
Dr. Spector has one?
Yeah.
My God.
Duh.
And so we won't like dwell on all that stuff. Nobody really pays attention to it right now anyway. So let's talk about some other stuff.
Yeah.
Our weekend was friggin' ruled.
Mm-hmm.
So what did we do Friday night?
I don't remember.
So a few weeks back, it wasn't actually that long ago, some friends of ours reached out to us with a request for assistance in setting up their event. They already had everything laid out, but they were hoping to add a couple of quick little investigation spots. And we have a few friends who were willing to step up and do that for them. And then on Friday night, when everyone arrived for the Taps Para family reunion,
mm-hmm.
we had a couple of locations set up for them to investigate. And it was wonderful because for the first time, we got to meet the Mr. Amazing Jason Haas.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice guy. Wish we could have met him sooner, but this is the first time our paths have crossed. So Jason was there for – now, this isn't like the Taps team. This is not the people who are on TV.
No.
These are the Taps family teams that are around the country
mm-hmm.
that represent the Taps organization when they need to go on an investigation that perhaps is beyond the reach of the Taps home team.
Right.
So these are – teams just like ours, although we're not a Taps family member, but teams like ours
mm-hmm.
who have been approved as a Taps family member follow the same sort of structure Taps does, and they once a year have a nice family reunion.
Yeah.
And Jason attends every year.
Yeah.
He's always there. So, and he
Very
was
cool.
there this year. We helped them with a couple investigation locations, got to have dinner with them on Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
and we just want to, thank them for including us and considering us to entrust us enough to get these locations for them.
Yep.
And B, we want to give a huge shout out to our very own Kristen Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen was requested to speak about the history of Salem.
Yep.
At their reunion on Saturday during the day when they were doing some of their other stuff, and
mm-hmm.
they slotted off like an hour and a half for her
mm-hmm.
to talk about the history, not just the Salem witch trials, but the history of Salem itself.
Yep.
And they loved it. And she got a huge shout out by Jason Haas on his
cool.
Facebook page. So kudos to Kristen. You're doing awesome. Thank you for representing us the way you do. And just keep doing what you're doing. You're going places.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then on Saturday night, the rest of the team, ourselves and Maggie and Shane, and including my sister, had the opportunity to investigate a never before investigated location. And
can't tell you where it is.
Yeah, we can't talk about the location itself. We do not have permission for that. But it was interesting. I did a live shot yesterday with Lauren
yep.
talking about my experience because we did have one very intense experience that night.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. Yeah, it was gnarly. And hopefully once we put all the pieces together, we can kind of get a conclusion as to why it happened. But it took me a little bit of time. I was pretty shaken up by it. And that next day I thought I was fine. And then that evening I did not feel so well and used my trusty little holy water and took care of myself that night. And I'm not saying that's what it was, but hey, you know what? Maybe it gave me enough faith inside to,
better safe than sorry.
To relax myself a little bit. So as Lauren has stepped out of the room for a moment, we have our guests calling in. So we're going to go right to the telephone, which is actually a laptop. It's not really a telephone. So we're going right down here on the laptop. And do we have both Kevin and Randy in the house now?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Yeah. It's about freaking time this shit went down.
That's it. Great show, folks. Hard. Thank you.
How are you?
Has Randy called in yet?
He's calling in right now. And
yeah,
we've got
in.
Randy on the line. So we have Randy and Kevin, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep.
Excellent. This is the most... All right, so folks, as I said earlier, this has been months in the making trying to get these two on the show, and whether it's our schedule or, you know, whatever has happened, it just hasn't lined up, so... I'm pretty sure this won't air tomorrow night because it's all going to come to an end tonight. The world is ending
because
this is finally happening. So.
Stuff like that.
This whole thing right here is like a paranormal thing in itself, you know? Just trying to get on the show.
Oh, man. So how are you guys? Starting with Kevin, because this always gets awkward when we have multiple calls. Start with Kevin. How are you doing today? How's everything been?
I'm doing good. Other than the fact that I have a broken hand now, but other than that, I'm doing good.
Yeah, that is still healing up. Any better, or have you made it worse somehow?
No, actually, it's been about 3 weeks now, so it's starting to heal up. So it's coming along.
Excellent.
Cool.
And how about yourself, Randy? How are you today?
I'm grooving, baby. I feel good, man. Just living life, you know, doing what we do, trying to keep everything rolling.
Excellent.
Nice.
So how are things down in the Big Easy down that way? I'm jealous because I've always wanted to visit but never had a chance to get down there yet.
What? Oh, hell no, man. We got to change that. We need to get you down here because that's exactly what it is.
It's one of those places where, I mean, obviously, you know, we're lucky enough to be up here by Salem, Mass, because that's got its own mystique and its own. But New Orleans, man,
no, it's a totally different level.
That's some like voodoo shit down there that I'm interested in.
That's a
whole
other level.
Well, you let us know when
do you guys
ready
get
to come down here.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
You can, like, we'd come down and take pictures and be like, oh, by the way, we're in town. See you guys later.
See you guys later. I'll just bring a cardboard cutout of you guys. I'll attach it to my back so it'll be like we're always taking selfies.
What?
Right? Like, I'll wear it.
So I do better than that. Y'all come. We'll just meet up with y'all.
Hell yeah.
I can't have crawfish, but I can have gator, so.
Which is weird. Well,
yeah.
Gator's not a fish.
Wait.
Yeah. Lauren's allergic.
Oh, she's allergic to it.
Allergic to seafood. I can't have it.
Oh. You should stay away from you need to just stay away from pretty much everything down there then.
I'll just eat gator and beignets or whatever you call those things.
There you go.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I, on the other hand, I can eat whatever the hell I want to eat, so
yeah.
I'll be into the crawfish. No big deal.
You'll
that's what I'm
right
talking
here.
About.
Well, miraculously, both of you just got the crappiest cell phone reception at the exact same time. I don't know how that happened.
Big Easy, baby. Big Easy.
It was hilarious. You both started talking, and both your phones crapped out. It was so funny.
It's,
you're back
the
now.
Cell phone tower. The cell phone towers are full of Spanish moss, man. That's what it is.
You know, it's funny because every time I'm talking to Randy on the phone, he says my phone always cuts out. So I don't know. I always think it's his phone, but I don't know. Maybe it's both.
Well, Harry, I've solved that one. It's both. Oh man, so. So let's talk a little. I'm gonna jump right in this down here. You guys actively investigate, don't you? Do you still actively investigate?
Absolutely.
So you do residential cases, things like that.
We don't take too many of those, but if somebody really needs our help, you know, and they've had a few other crews do that that really can't figure things out, then we'll jump in and help them out. But there's so many, you know, especially, you know, with the attention we got from the show. A lot of them aren't even haunted. They just want us to be there, you know. So if a few other people have been through and can, you know, say it's a legitimate haunting and the people really need help, then we'll go in and help them out. But mostly, I mean, we always got our hands tied up with some of the bigger cases, you know, like some of the more popular restaurants down here and office buildings and whatnot. So we're always doing something, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
That's cool. I'm interested to know what type of activity do you find down there? Is it your typical run of the mill, but your typical, you know, we get some voices, we have some things going on, or do you find that there's more activity down there because of the things that people do, and I'm, you know, i.e. voodoo and other things like that that people have dabbled in a lot down there?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. I mean, New Orleans in itself is like, you know, its own culture. So you got voodoo, you got all kinds of different things, and people say they're experiencing different things and things like that. So I would think that it's pretty much a little bit of everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting because I whenever I think of New Orleans, I think that voodoo culture, that old Southern
Santeria.
Yeah, Santeria and voodoo, and it's just sort of one of those places where people almost went there to practice it. You know, it was one of those, like, you weren't going to do it. Yeah, in Texas, you weren't going to do it in the surrounding area. New Orleans, you know, Baton Rouge, that area was like, we're going here, and this is where we're going to be able to practice our, you know, craft, if
ritual,
you will, or rituals.
Religion,
And I know a lot of stuff with voodoo is not necessarily hexing and cursing people. It's really a beautiful religion, but a lot of people get into it because of the hexing and cursing and things of that nature. Do you liken that sort of, I guess, hexes and curses to almost, you know, hand in hand with a spiritual, I guess, a spirit
what
possessing someone? Well, can I finish my sentence? Or are you just going to step on me? I know it's taking a little bit of while, but I guess what I'm sifting out is there are spiritual attachments and spiritual possessions, and then there are manifestations of some sort of voodoo or curse, almost like a thought form attachment. Do you find more of that down there, or do you still think that's sort of it's just the same as everywhere else?
Yeah, I think you find more here. I mean, but then again, you know, the whole voodoo thing, it comes across more of, I would say it's closer to like possession, you know, because
okay.
A lot of the voodoo priests and whatnot, you know, when they do their rituals and whatnot, like the spirits are speaking through them. So it's actually really creepy to see for your first time. It's like, honestly, you're gonna be like, this person's bullshitting, you know, that's not really happening, you know. But when you start really, you know, diving into it, using equipment and stuff, I mean, it's more like a possession thing. But honestly, we come across a lot more of, you know, I hate to use the word normal, but just your normal paranormal cases, you know. But when you do come across one like that, it's almost like trying to decipher it as, is this a possession or is this something on purpose, you know, like just really trying to figure it out. But like I said, when you see it for the first time, it's crazy, you know, like it really just makes you like look at it a whole different way than you would normally go into paranormal, just looking at a regular paranormal case. Like you have to take a step back and say, shit, I need to come at this a whole different way, you know.
Yeah.
Right. I think anyone who doesn't understand.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Kevin.
My dog's barking. No, what I was going to say, though, is actually me and Randy, we did an investigation down here in a cemetery. It's called Holt Cemetery, and it's a poor man's cemetery. Most of the cemeteries down here in New Orleans are above ground. But this particular cemetery, the bodies are buried under the ground. And the cemetery itself has a lot of voodoo history behind this place. So me and Randy decided, hey, let's go check it out and, you know, let's see if we can get any activity. So we went out there one night, and we walking around, and we came across, like, this big tree. Now, in this tree, they actually had voodoo dolls nailed up in this tree. And we were like, wow, this is a perfect spot. Let's see if we can get any activity here. So Randy has the camera, and I'm pretty much getting all the equipment set up. And, you know, Randy's holding the camera, and all of a sudden he feels like something, like, brushed up on his back. And he asks me, he's like, did you see something, like, fall from a tree or something? Because, like, I felt something. And I was like, no, I didn't see nothing. So we just kind of brushed it off and just kind of continued getting everything set up. And then maybe about 5 minutes later, Randy was explaining to me, he's like, my back is burning. And I was like, what? My back is burning. And I was like, okay, well, give me the camera, let me see. So he lifted up his shirt, and he had three scratch marks from his shoulder all the way down his back. So that was kind of like a creepy experience we had while we were doing that.
Wow.
Now, obviously, it was you were just setting up. You weren't even investigating yet at this point. Did you guys have more activity after that? Was this sort of almost like a warning to, you know, here's your free pass, continue on?
Yeah, actually, that was the highlight of the night for sure. I mean, we had some subtle things happen. That might have been the night because we've been a few times. Yeah, that was the night. Kevin actually saw a shadow, and we did get some really cool EVPs. But as far as, you know, highlights, that was it.
Wow.
Wow.
By the tree, they had the voodoo dolls and the tree and everything. But I didn't even realize, like, until afterwards, like, where I was standing. And on the ground, they had, like, these rocks, like, in a circle on the ground. I'm kind of guessing or assuming that, you know, the voodoo dolls, the circle, and somebody must have been there performing some kind of voodoo at
the
spot. So,
and Kevin was standing inside the circle, and I wasn't.
I was standing inside the circle, and I didn't even realize it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it's almost I think you might have said it, Randy, before. It was almost like a protection circle. You know, the circle is there to protect the person doing. Yeah.
That's what I would imagine, because I got scratched and I wasn't even doing anything. I was literally sitting there, you know, not doing anything. So, I don't know. I mean, it could have been a warning or whatever. And I don't know if you guys know much about New Orleans, but the reason all of our cemeteries, and I mean all 95% of our cemeteries are above ground, is because of the water table here. We're 18 feet below sea level. So when it floods, the caskets literally come tumbling out of the ground. So that's why, you know, everything's above ground, except two that we know of. And then one of them pulled.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, I did. I knew, at least I did, and I know Lauren did too, knew that about the area, because you're absolutely right. You know, whenever people see pictures of cemeteries, quote unquote, in New Orleans, it's always the above ground crypts and things like that that you can see. And the reason, like you said, because the water table is so high that you get a little bit of rain, a little bit of flooding, and everything just is so saturated it pops out. So. That's interesting, though. There's still two cemeteries that are still underground.
For Katrina, caskets actually did come tumbling out, too. A lot of them. Yeah.
Awful.
Unbelievable.
It's awful.
I love listening to you guys right now, because wherever you are, it's like nature in the background. I hear a bird chirping. I hear the dog barking before.
I just imagine bats and crickets and, like, frogs and... Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas comes out.
I'll tell you what, though, it's one misconception. It's on TV, you know, Hollywood likes to portray New Orleans as basically like we all wear camouflage and flannel, walk down the street spitting tobacco with a gun on our shoulder. But New Orleans itself is nothing like that. New Orleans itself is just a city as any big city in New York, any of them. It's the surrounding areas, the outskirts that are a country, you know, so to speak. You know, the bayou and all that. We don't have that here. You know, like if you y'all seen the show, I was scared to death going in a pen with a damn chicken. You know, I don't fool with chickens. I don't know nothing about it. I don't know nothing about that. You know, so it's a misconception. You know, like there's no bayous or anything like that where we at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so you don't own a banjo.
No, not at all. I actually have an electric guitar, so there you go.
There we go.
I'll bring my bass down. I got a bass that I never play. I haven't played it in like 15 years. So.
Right? Chickens are evil, by the way.
I'll tell you what's really sad is I've been playing for 15 years and I suck.
Hey, the only thing that matters when you play is when you're
exactly.
done. Are you relaxed? Are you chilled out? Are you like, that was like a release? That's
absolutely.
All that matters.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm with you. See, we're on the same page here.
Exactly. As long as you're having fun, when you're all done, you go like, I can never, ever play in front of, you know, 20,000 people or anything like that. But hell, in my house, I'm freaking, I don't know. I'm stuttering over myself.
I'm Axl Rose in my house. I'm Santana in my house.
I was going to say, Santana is probably a better comparison, being that.
Oh, man.
Poor Axl Rose.
Poor Axl Rose. He's the one who lost his mind and decided not to do that shit no more.
What happened to him?
I'm going to see him Sunday.
they've just got done performing up here in Boston, and I know a few people who went, and they were really surprised at how good they were. It seems that Axl's been getting stronger and stronger. His vocals have been getting stronger. So you're in for a treat, man. From what I hear, they're really good again.
I hope so, because last time I heard him, it wasn't in person, but he sounded like shit. I hate to say it like that, but it was bad. But, you know, I love Guns N' Roses, so we're going Sunday. They're coming down here. We're going to see him. So that'll be cool.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Hell yeah. So, unfortunately, I mean, we know people who know you guys. We've never had the pleasure to meet each other. We know what we've seen on TV from you. We know what we see on Facebook from time to time. But honestly, there's just not a lot about you guys out there. I can't find.
I tried eHarmony. I tried Match. I even tried Christian Mingle. I could find nothing about you guys.
That's what you call a successful lifestyle, right there.
Excellent.
Less they know, the better.
What got you guys into, and if you can respond as each, what got you guys into the paranormal in the first place? What was the jumping point?
Well, I was like, when I was growing up, I would always watch like the shows on TV, and I was always interested in the, you know, unknown. I remember growing up watching Unsolved Mysteries. You remember that show?
Hell yeah.
No?
Robert Stack, right?
Oh, okay, good.
Robert Stack,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, I mean, like, I grew up watching stuff like that, so I was always interested in it. And then, like, the paranormal shows started coming out, and I was like, whoa, you know, and it just kind of got me hooked on it. So that's pretty much kind of the idea I started off with.
Yeah, as far as me, I was a 100% non-believer when all the shows started, you know. I mean, before that, I've never even thought about it. But when all the shows came out, I was 100%, you know, this is all bull crap. None of this is real. There's no way. It's just for TV, blah, 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 you know. So it's funny because me and Kevin live right next door to each other, and my dad lives right on the other side of Kevin. So Kevin was, like, sandwiched in between me and my dad's house. So him and my dad, you know, were all into it, loved it, you know, absolutely loved it. And every time a show would come on, you know, we all three be in our three houses watching it. And then when it was over, them two would be out in the front lawn talking, man, you saw this, you saw that. And they'd hear me from my porch, y'all are stupid, that's bullshit, you know. Like, so, I mean, that's how, and I started because one day we got to arguing so much, me and Kevin was like, you know what, let's just go find out for ourselves. You know, and literally started investigating. Our first one was Lafayette Number 1 Cemetery, and that's what got me started, is trying to prove Kevin wrong.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And are you still trying to prove Kevin wrong?
Nah, man, I lost.
I love hearing that because, you know, a lot of us these days, a lot of us have started the same way, watching the shows, you know, and getting interested. We're already interested in it. The shows were sort of the catalyst to put us into the, you know, I'm getting a recorder. That was my first piece of equipment, my digital recorder. I still use
mine
it to this day. My little white Opus that I paid $30 for, and I've caught some great EVPs with that thing over the years, but you know, it was that one moment of trying to get out there and finding a place. I got to admit though, the first place I ever had the privilege of being in that was haunted. Dude, are you right next to a friggin' hawk? It sounds like it's on your shoulder.
They're like surrounded by frogs and crickets. They're probably staring at each other, doing the phone call.
I'm actually chasing my cat on the back patio right now, so
explain
it to us. Running or something, so they got a possum running around the backyard, so I gotta watch my cat, make sure he don't go after it.
Kevin, no more broken limbs, please.
Yeah, really, really.
Shit. But anyway, what I was gonna say is the first place I got into is still my favorite place to investigate. It's still, if I have opportunities to get there, I always go back. Do you have a favorite spot that you go to? And is it always something that gives you something new every time you go there?
Well, I like going back to the first spot we go to that we've ever been to, and that was Lafayette Cemetery.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like the place where it kind of started everything. When me and Randy tried to prove each other wrong, I told him, I was like, look, this is, you know, go in this, because when we went there, they had an open tomb. It was broken
what?
Open. They had no bodies in there. Yes. All
right.
It was a broken open tomb. It was empty. And what better way to start it off? By putting Randy inside of the tomb. So I started setting everything up. I was like, all right, you got to go in there. We're going to get you, because he was the non-believer, so he had to go in there, set everything up, and I made him do an EVP session up in there.
And?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we got you. We heard the EVP session, and then it went silent.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Maybe it's my phone.
Told you
yeah, so he went it. So I got him to go in there, set everything up. He's in there. I was like, all right, I'm going on the other side of the graveyard. You do your thing. I'm not going to be around you. You know, whatever. So I went on the other side, and I'm going to tell you what I found, and then I'm going to let Randy explain what his experience was. So I'm on the other side of the graveyard. I had two other people with me. I had two other girls with me at the time. And we're walking, and, you know, I guess it was maybe like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And, right. You know, I started seeing a shadow. And I'm thinking, okay, what other dumbasses are going to be in a graveyard at 1 or 2 in the morning besides us? You know? So the first thing that pops into my head was, all right, that's got to be Randy. It has to be. There's nobody else in here. So when I seen it, the first thing I wanted to do, I wanted to go after it and look for it. Went over there, tried looking for it, could not find anything. The girls that I was with, they were freaking out because they saw it as well. And I was like, all right, well, let's go back, meet up with Randy, and see if he got anything. So that was kind of my experience that night. Now, Randy had a different experience inside of the tomb.
Yeah, so
and I'll let
and keep in mind,
it.
Yeah, keep in mind when Kevin says we were the only people in that cemetery, you got to think now there's about a 10-foot wall to that cemetery and like 15-foot gate, so nobody else even could have been in there, you know what I mean, unless they were crazy enough to jump over the thing. So anyway, so I get in the tomb, you know, they set the camera up, I'm like, all right, y'all go across the cemetery where I can't hear y'all. So, and actually, if you listen to it now, it's probably one of the funniest recordings you'll ever hear. It's probably about 10 or 15 minutes long, and I say it's funny because you got to keep in mind I was a non-believer, so I'm complaining the whole time. I'm like, I'm getting bit by mosquitoes. Why am I in this damn thing? It's hot. I'm sweating. You know, like, this is so crazy. I don't know why I'm sitting in this person's damn tomb by myself. So I'm sitting there complaining the whole time, and at one point, you know, I'm like, well, you know, let me try to take it serious, you know, get the benefit of the doubt. So at one point, I say, if you want me to leave, tell me to leave. And so I hear nothing. I just keep talking shit. You know, I'm mad. I'm aggravated. So anyway, I finally get out. I hook up with them. We leave. So the next day, Kevin had all the equipment. So Kevin calls me the next day. He's like, dude, come over here. Come over here. I'm like, all right. So I get over there, and he's like, dude, you're not going to believe what you caught on your recorder. I'm like, oh, crap. I ain't catch nothing on that recorder. Come on, man. And so he plays it. And when he played it, like, I still get chills just talking about it because I didn't expect it. I knew I was by myself. You know, I knew they weren't nowhere near me. And when I did say, if you want me to leave, tell me to leave. As I'm still saying my last word, you know, leave, this creepy whisper starts and it says, leave now, like clear as day. And I know damn well what I am. You know what I mean? So that's also what converted me over from non-believer to, okay, now I'm intrigued. Now I need to know. I need to know more. You know, so that's what kicked me off.
Hell yeah!
Wow, it's always an experience like that. I think that does it to you because you can not believe all you want. You know, but for some people, it's just that one hearing that voice in the room that you know it cannot possibly be there. That just that gets
exactly. Because
yeah.
I mean, yeah. At that point, even if I was in a room and say I got that same EVP that night, but they were close to me, I would have blamed one of them for whispering it. I never would have believed.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? So
I
was
literally
by myself. And that's why to this day on the show and to this day when we investigate, I always like to go off by myself. That's the reason why. You know, because
know. And that night, I don't know if I was more happy that we got, like, a Class A EVP. I don't know if I was more happy about that or if I was more happy about proving Randy he was wrong. I was just so happy that day, you know?
Yeah, see,
it was definitely an experience.
Oh, hell yeah. No, that's – and having that kind of an experience where you've got – what's that?
Nothing.
No, you were going to say
no,
something.
No,
having that kind of experience where you've got a skeptic with you and, you know, you're a full-blown believer and you're hoping – you're praying that skeptic gets something, and then he does. That's, you know, please. That's like Christmas right there.
Yeah,
it's like literally
that's reward.
Right, exactly, exactly.
You got it finally.
One creepy.
I was so
Christmas.
Happy that day. I was like, yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I read too much Stephen King, so the Bayou probably would not be a good place for me to investigate unless I had a lot of practice. I'd be like.
That's
oh,
the thing.
Though,
as far as bayous and woods and stuff, we did that on one of our episodes. Because, like I said, we don't have it here. But when we do those, I am not concerned with ghosts. I'm not concerned with demons because I will face down 10 demons before I face one flying cockroach or spider. I don't deal. I don't play that shit. Nope.
I can't with the.
Oh my god! There's the worst thing is like, so there's a place in Salem. It's a basement of this old firehouse, and it dates back to. It's not an old. I mean, in consideration of all the other places that we love to go and everybody likes to investigate, this dates back to like the, you know.
It's like 100 years old.
So you know, it was involved in. It was around during the 1914 fire in Salem that wiped out a huge chunk of the town. You know, lots of people died. People were put in there for cold storage as bodies and stuff. But, man, you know, you go down in there, and there are, like, these millipedes and, you know, spiders. And you go into this little crawl space. You put your light on, and there's, like, a spider sitting on it. You're like, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah, no.
I'm good. Here's my recorder. I'm doing my recorder in here. Talking to it, I'm out of here.
No,
see you later.
It's not even the spiders because at least the spiders, like you can see where they are. You get the, you know, you see the web. But the feather bugs, it's like they're challenging you to a duel. They come up behind you, you know, they put the little horns up, and they stand up, and they wait for you to step on them so they can spread their evil all over the place. They're
Not even a second. Because then when it's dark, you run across that spider web that you can't see, and it gets you on the face, and you know there's a damn spider attached to it somewhere, so that turns you into a black belt karate instructor in a second.
That's why you have to tuck in everything. You tuck your pants in, your shirt in, your sleeves, like, tuck them into everything.
They're in New Orleans. They're not wearing pants.
It's like going
to battle. I would be wrapped up. I would have mosquito netting over me. I don't care how hot it is.
Dude, they got to take a beekeeper. Let me just, for, you know, to give you your credit, though, shit up here will bite you, and oh, wow, big deal.
Yeah.
Down there, the shit will kill them.
Yeah, really.
You got black widows and shit like that down there, so, you know, you got freaking snakes that'll kill you in a bite. You know.
Up here is a spider bite. Down there, you lost a finger, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You got alligators, snakes, you know, all around here, so.
Yeah.
We got Nutri-Rats, too. If y'all don't know what that is, Google a Nutri-Rat. They're about the size of two chihuahuas.
What?
And I'm not exaggerating.
Are they like the rodents of unusual size?
No, dude, I'm not joking with you. Like, Google it. I'm dead serious when I say, like,
a big
chihuahua. They're big. Like, they're the size of a pug. With all the hair and everything like that.
No, I think they're bigger than a pug. They're about
the
size of a medium dog.
Yeah, but they're cute like pugs.
I'm not exaggerating either, man. They probably weigh from 5 to 10 pounds.
Mark just looked up a picture of them, and they look like the rodents of unusual size from Princess Bride. Oh my God, look at that thing.
Yeah. Now imagine those coming up next to you.
Yeah, I'm
good with
that.
They can get big.
Yeah, big orange.
And it's basically a big rat. That's what it is.
Exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. It's a big ass rat.
Yeah, that's see what I'm talking about with the Stephen King? That's too Stephen King for me right there. I can't. The other thing would eat me alive, and then come after you guys.
Yeah, rat.
and I'm sure y'all know how it works, you know. I don't have to outrun the rat. I just got to outrun y'all.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't have to run. Yeah, I just got to outrun you. That's all that matters.
I'd be the first to go. You guys be stepping on me, running out of the bayou.
Always go on with that out of shape friend.
At this moment, that's me.
Peter Griffin.
I'll tell you what, though. I don't know, but there's a lot of out of shape ghost hunters. That's for sure.
I know.
No offense to anyone, but you know, as a collective, there's a lot of us who are out of shape.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. There's not many athletic moments in it unless I see a spider or a Nutri-Rat or a snake, you know.
Oh man. So what is your favorite or most memorable investigation that you guys have had?
Mine, personally, would have to be Prattville. When we did that big mill in Prattville, the Lady in Black episode, man, because I'm not going to lie. Honestly, like the cameramen, the producers and all, I don't think nobody was more shocked as us as investigators of what happened there. You know what I mean? So
that
was like probably the most memorable one because that's something you do not expect. I knew it wasn't going to happen, but it did. You know what I mean? So
that's
mine.
Wow.
Definitely.
Mine, I mean, there's a lot of places that we've gone that I've really thought was really good. But one of them that really kind of stood out to me was not on the show or anything, but it was here in New Orleans. It's called the Gemini Bar. I don't know if y'all familiar with the Gemini. Back in the day, it was called, I think, the Upstairs Lounge. And they had a fire. Somebody lit it on fire, killing 32 people inside.
Oh, yes. Goodness. Is that the one? It was at the gay bar?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, a few places on TV have been up in there and they investigated it. I've been up in there many times. I've actually run tours that I was doing up in there for a while. And just by running these tours up in there, I mean, the experiences that I've had there, I mean, I've had my name being called, like, not just my name, but, like, my full name, like, Kevin Betzer. And, yeah, and I've had people, like, hyperventilating, freaking out, and just out of the blue, you know? So the experiences there, that kind of really stood out to me. So I would think those would be my most memorable experiences.
Wow. That's yeah, I feel like that would be an extremely emotional place to go into.
Yeah.
Based on what happened.
It's kind of funny that you know, they had the fire there, and they had all these, you know, people dying in the fire. It was horrible, horrible thing. But some of the evidence that I was getting in that activity that I was getting went back further than the actual happened. They were pulling up the floorboards. They found a Civil War uniform. They found a Civil War gun. And they actually found bones inside of the floorboards. So, yeah, the history is just unbelievable. So that, yeah, that's a really cool place.
Which, keep in mind, you guys, that makes that one of three places that we've done down here where they found bones, human bones.
Jesus.
Wow.
Now, yeah, was that, I mean, 17, 18.
Yeah. But was that a Confederate uniform, I assume?
To be honest with you, I didn't see the uniform itself. I was, you know, when I went over there, I talked to the owner of the place, and he said that when they were doing, like, fixing it up upstairs, they were pulling up the floorboard. So I'm not sure. I'm assuming that it would have been a Confederate. It was the South, you know. So
yeah,
it's kind of cool that, it, you know, they found, like, all kinds of stuff. They found all that. They found, like, Mardi Gras doubloons, like, from, like, the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And they found all kinds of artifacts underneath the floor. So, no telling how much more stuff they have under there.
Yeah, no kidding. It's as if somebody was just hiding stuff and, you know, like, instead of going to a bank or a vault or something, like, I'm just going to put it under the floor.
Yeah, well, where you put it, I mean.
And a lot of that going on here in New Orleans. Because, like, you know, John Lafitte's treasure was never found. And, again, we New Orleans was founded in 1718. So, as soon as you think you know everything about a place, That's over 150 years you don't know shit about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And
now, you said
the thing about New Orleans. The thing about New Orleans is the history behind it. You cannot find a lot of the history written down here. The fires. They had so many. You know, they have so much history behind here. Not all of it is even documented. So.
I feel like in a place like New Orleans, in the culture that lived in New Orleans, you rely on diaries and things like that because there isn't too much public record.
Yeah.
Going back, most people find people's accounts.
That's what most historians find is handwritten letters, diaries, you know, and mostly handwritten things. You're not finding many newspaper clippings and whatnot. You're finding people's personal stories, you know. When you get that in way more detail, then you're going to get some newspaper clipping, you know.
Exactly, because they just didn't have that. It was your personal accounts, and, you know, you knew everybody in your town, and you knew people down the road, but you didn't. That's where you got your news.
Well, they said there was a lot of fires that destroyed any of the public records, too, though. So.
Yeah. And a lot of natural
disasters.
Thank you.
Natural
stuff. Those big swamp rats were interesting.
So, you know, not to, and I don't want to bring it up. If you guys don't want to talk about it, it's totally fine. But, you know, what was going on for you when Katrina happened?
Katrina sucked, man. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Which you guys know that just knowing about it. But, I mean, it sucked. And, like, for me, I actually have family in Cumming, Georgia, which is about 45 minutes north of Atlanta. And
I know exactly where Cumming is.
Oh, cool. Well, my aunt lives out there, my cousin. So I flew out there on a Thursday. And on a Thursday I flew out there, Katrina wasn't even in the Gulf yet. So when Monday came around, when I'm supposed to fly home, that's when Katrina hit. So I was still coming with just two suitcases of clothes for, I want to say, 3 months I was stuck out there. I didn't see my daughter. I missed my daughter's first birthday. I lost everything, two vehicles, my house, all the rest of my clothes, pictures, everything I owned, I lost except those two suitcases I had. So, and then my dad passed away 3 years ago, but my dad and my brother are firemen. So the stuff that, and they had to stay, you know, and then the cell phone served so bad, you know, because everybody was trying to use the phone, you couldn't contact them. So, you know, I went over 2 weeks without knowing if they were okay, what was going on, you know, so I didn't know what was up with my house and, you know, lost people that I knew personally, you know, so, it sucked. And in my case, you know, just telling you that I lost that, I'm one of the lucky ones, you know, like literally, like one of the lucky people out of that scenario, you know, but I got everything back and everything's cool. I mean, it added a whole lot of hauntings to the area, that's for sure. And, Kevin, for instance, he probably had it a little worse than I did. I mean, he lost everything, too, but he'll tell you what happened at his house. Tell him what happened to yours. Yep.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, like Randy said, it was a horrible experience. I lost everything. The house had, 9 feet of water in my house. So we actually had oil. After the water, started coming down after Katrina, an oil drum busted, and then we winded up getting 4 feet of oil in the house. So it was just there was no way that we could go back. And, I had to leave New Orleans. I was, traveling with a few friends, and I was pretty much homeless for about a month. And then one of my family members, he had a house that he was able to get back to, and he's like, look, come stay with me for a while. And so I had to stay with my uncle for about 6 months until, I was able to get back up on my feet. And then I had, once I did, I had bought a house. And that's exactly when I started kind of investigating and met up with Randy. After Katrina, I bought a house right next to him. So it's just kind of boom, 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 So
right.
Wow.
Well, perhaps it was fate.
Yeah, perhaps it was fate, unfortunately, out of such tragedy. But, look at you guys ended up with a pretty damn good friendship and moving forward with the show and stuff like that. So here all these years later, it's in the rearview mirror.
Absolutely.
I'm sure
one thing I believe is, no matter how bad the experience is, in the end, it will always work out the way it's supposed to. And that's what I truly believe.
Absolutely.
Even though Katrina was bad and all these bad things happened, it always works out the way it's supposed to. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. Do you guys ever
I'm sorry, I wanted to add one more thing to that. It's on a much lighter note, but absolutely I believe that all that devastation brings good things, because just in case y'all don't know, that brought us Drew Brees, and then we had that Super Bowl in 2009. So, let's not forget about that.
That's right.
And Sean Payton. And Sean Payton.
That is true.
That is
absolutely
true.
I do remember that.
I remember that, yep.
Yeah.
We went to the NFC Championship in 2006 when we were playing in Miami Stadium because we didn't have one. Superdome was destroyed. It's just on a lighter note, just to lighten the mood. But, hey, good things do happen. You know what I mean? No matter how bad it gets, there's always a brighter day.
And it is a good thing because, the fact that Drew Brees was such a good quarterback in college is the reason that we ended up getting Tom Brady in the sixth round. So, that's
true. True that. Hey, don't start a fight now, man. That Saints is religious down here.
I've had Eli Manning for 10 years. Just enjoy that piece of sauce right there. enjoy that disaster.
Oh man. But This has been a lot of fun. We only got a little bit of time, like maybe just 4 or 5 minutes left here, guys. So why don't we take a moment here to talk about some of the things you guys are doing and maybe plug away at anything you want to plug, websites, stuff like that. Why don't you do that now?
We definitely have these events coming up. You know, we're gonna be we got SoCon, which is in shit. I need to let Kevin do. Kevin tells me when the event is, and I say, all right, I'm there. So let him tell you what it is.
We got SoCon coming up, and I believe that's in Illinois. We also are going to Michigan Paragon. I believe that's coming up in August as well. We will be in Mississippi for the Gulf Coast Paracon. Yes. And also we will be in Texas for the Tyler Paracon. Tyler Comic Con. So we got a few things coming up, so. And I mean,
excellent.
It's not hard to find us. I mean, we're always, you know, we're on Facebook or whatever. So, you know, anybody can reach out to us if they want to ask us questions. We try to talk to everybody. So it's not hard to find us if you have any questions.
Yeah, that's one thing I've noticed, you know, about you and Randy, about the two of you, is that you guys are really accessible. You're easy to talk to. You know, there's no fame sitting inside the head. You know, you guys are down to earth and good guys. And that's what everybody we run into that knows you say the same thing, you know. Who was the person? Who did we talk to recently? Was it Marcel and Jen?
I think so.
Marcel and Jen from Gone Haunting.
Yeah. It was. We were at NASCAR.
Okay, yeah.
We do our first NASCAR event.
Well, that's the thing, man. We never, I don't know if y'all noticed, we never ever pages. We always kept it regular Facebook pages, accept every friend request, talk to everybody. Well, we try to. You know, we try to answer everybody. And we definitely don't have some chip on our shoulder because even though we only had one season, you know, and some of the other people that are mean to people, which I'll never for the life of me understand because you're being mean to the people who made you, you know. So we love and appreciate every single fan we had and still have, you know. We thank them for everything. Without them, it's not possible, man. So, and again, Southern hospitality is not words. It's a lifestyle, you know, and we live it to the fullest.
Hell yeah, we're coming down there because I want gator jerky, I want biscuits and gravy.
We got it all.
We'll take care of you.
And also, I want to plug in the Pink Street Pub. That's my family's bar that we own down here. So if you're ever in the area, you know, definitely come check out our place. It's actually in Old Metairie, which is literally 2-3 minutes from the French Quarter, but it's not in New Orleans. It's right on the outskirts. It's in Metairie, but it's 201 Aris Avenue in Metairie, Louisiana. It's called Pink Street Pub. Definitely check us out. Give us a like on our Facebook page. So, yeah. Can't wait
to
see y'all when y'all come.
One other thing I want to say. We also have Kevin Betta, Randy Hardy, / Deep South Paranormal public page, which we post a lot of our events and a lot of things that we are doing on there as well. So you can check that out, or you can reach us on our personal pages, our Facebook pages. Either one is fine, but, you know, we do have a public page that we do, you know, what events we have coming up and all that.
Very cool. So we'll definitely have to do this again on you know, I'm sure we'll start planning now for, like, you know, the next show that'll be 4 months from now or a year from now or something like that.
Right now.
Yeah,
right.
But,
it was cool. I hope we get to investigate with you guys sometime. And even
absolutely.
If we don't get to investigate,
absolutely.
At least hang out, because I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can we investigate while we're hanging out?
Yeah. But
hey,
but Randy has to pull a coffin again. To him, whatever.
All right, guys, listen, you guys have a great night. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll chat soon about some things.
Thank you, guys.
All right, man, thank
sounds
you so
good.
Much. Thanks
thank
for
y'all.
Having us. Appreciate
it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was Randy Hardy
and Kevin
Betzer.
I love the accent. I love it. I love the Southern accent.
Deep South Paranormal.
Yeah.
And they are... They get a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, they do.
Two of the nicest guys I think we've talked to. Oh, no, everybody we talked to is extremely nice. This is the ass-kissing part of the show. We love everyone.
Really nice guys.
Yeah.
I really do hope we get to meet them soon.
Yes.
Because I feel it'd be, I really, there's a lot of conversation we could have.
Yes.
A lot of things to talk about.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe Kevin can teach us how to play guitar.
Yeah, I think that was Randy.
Oh, dang it.
Kevin's got the busted hand.
Ah, Kevin chases possums.
Yes, with his cat. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. Everybody drink Deadly Grounds Coffee, deadlygroundscoffee.com. We'll catch you next week.
No, you won't.
I knew that was coming. Bye, everybody.